Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Two Footed Podcast here on EPL Index. Now, before we kick things off today, I just want to share something with everybody. This episode is brought to you by our partners at SkyBet. And we've teamed up with SkyBet because they truly understand what it means to be a fan. SkyBet appreciates the length that people go through to support their team in all areas, whether you're a match-going fan or otherwise. And there's just no better fit for us right now than a partnership with the good folks at SkyBet. So with that said, let's go. What's good, boys and girls? Two-Footed Podcast. Today is Tuesday. It is April 23rd and the sun is shining. We've had four good days of weather in a row. We haven't had, where I live, we haven't had six consecutive days without rain since July. I don't know if it's the same for the rest of the country. It is here. I'd be convinced this is the longest stretch, 4 days without rain, that we've had. But I'm told it's 6 days without rain since July. So the hope is we get no rain tomorrow, no rain Thursday. That'll be six. And then it's due to be pretty nice on Friday as well. And fingers crossed, that gives us seven consecutive days without rain, which, you know, we wouldn't know what to do with ourselves. We're going to jump straight in. We're going to go to the SkyBet Championship and we're going to talk about what took place over the weekend, what's taking place tonight and tomorrow. So let's dig in. Over the weekend, Leicester 2, West Brom 1, Watford 0, Hull City 0, Sunderland 0, Millwall 1, huge win for Millwall, Rotherham 0, Birmingham 0. It's a bad, bad result for Birmingham. Huddersfield 0, Swansea City 4, Norwich 1, Bristol 1, Stoke 3, Plymouth 0, Cardiff 2, Southampton 1, bad result for the Saints, QPR 1, Preston North End 0, Blackburn Rovers 1, Sheffield Wednesday 3, mentioned that one yesterday, huge win for the Owls, and then last night, an absolutely manic game, Middlesbrough 3, Leeds United 4, Isaiah Jones put Middlesbrough 1 up. Somerville equalises from the penalty spot. Lathelath puts Borough back in front. So sorry, I'm wrong. Bamford scored, put Leeds ahead. Lathelath equalised. Then Wilfred Nanto put Leeds back in front. Then Somerville scored to make it 4-2. Lathelath got a late goal to make it 4-3. it looked like Borough might snatch an equaliser, but it wasn't to be. And Leeds pick up the 3 points. So, what it does to the league table? We have Leicester City top, 91 points from 43 games. Leeds second, 90 points from 44 games. Ipswich third, 89 points from 43 games. So Ipswich and Leicester with that advantage of the game in hand on Leeds. But Leeds do have a better goal difference than Ipswich. So Ipswich would need to win their game in hand to go above them. Then it's a five-point gap to Southampton, who I think with the defeat at the weekend scuppered their chances of automatic promotion. It will be a playoff berth for them. Then it's a 12-point gap to West Brom and Norwich City. Now, Norwich and West Brom are both 6 points ahead of Hull and 9 points ahead of Coventry. Hull have a game in hand. Coventry have two games in hand. But I think it's done. I think the playoffs are set in terms of the clubs that will be in them. It'll be one of Leicester, Leeds and Ipswich, and then it'll be Southampton, West Brom and Norwich. So it should be exciting. After Coventry, we get Middlesbrough, then Preston, Cardiff, Bristol City, Sunderland, Swansea, Watford, Millwall, who can breathe easy now, Stoke City, QPR, who I think are going to be fine. They're both 4 points clear of the relegation zone with only two games left. Then Blackburn, possibly still looking over their shoulder a little bit. Then Plymouth. Then Sheffield Wednesday. Then Birmingham, Huddersfield and Rotherham. Rotherham are gone, but there's two spots there that are still undecided. And I do think it's between Blackburn, Plymouth, Sheffield Wednesday, Birmingham and Huddersfield. Two of them will go down. Now, Huddersfield getting walloped at the weekend is not a good sign for them, and it feels like it could well be them. Huddersfield and Sheffield Wednesday have much worse goal differences than everybody else involved, but still loads to play for over the remaining games. We have one game tonight and one game tomorrow. Tonight is Leicester versus Southampton. Huge opportunity for Leicester here. Win that, and I think they're up. They'd have the same number of games played as Leeds. They'd be 4 points clear of them. They'd be 5 points clear of Ipswich. Now, Ipswich would have the game in hand, but still, only two games left after that. Tomorrow night, it's Coventry against Hull. That's Hull's game in hand. It's a really tough one. It's a tough game for Coventry as well, obviously, coming off the heartbreak of the weekend. Maybe there's a hangover there. So maybe it is an opportunity for Hull. But things are setting up really nicely heading into the final 2 weeks of the season, a final week of the season, really, as it is. We'll have a round of games from Friday through to Monday. Tuesday of next week, we get Coventry versus Ipswich, which is Ipswich's game in hand, and Coventry's other game in hand, obviously. And then on the 4th of May, all 12:30 kickoffs, we get the final round of games. The playoffs then, the semi-finals will be the 12th and 13th for the first leg, the 16th and 17th for the second leg. Very short turnaround there. And then May 26th will be the playoff final. And it is shaping up to be a belter this year. Into Sky Bet League One. Again, we had plenty of drama over the weekend. Oxford won, Stevenage won. That's a good result for Oxford, just for the playoff purpose. Although, to be fair, maybe not. Maybe not as a look at the table. We'll come back to that. Northampton won, Exeter 2. Cambridge won, Derby. Cambridge nil, Derby 1. Huge win for Derby. We'll get to that, to why in a second. Carlisle won, Wickham 3. Leighton Orient 0, Fleetwood Town 1, that's an upset. Blackpool 3, Barnsley 2, Burton 3, Reading 2, that's an upset, and that's going to shake things up a bit at the bottom. Charlton 1, Shrewsbury 1, Bolton 2, Port Vale 0, Portsmouth already promoted, already champions, lose 2-1 at home to Wigan. Cheltenham lose 2-1 at home to Lincoln. Bristol Rovers 0, Peterborough 2. We have two games tonight. We'll come back to those. So Pompey are up. They will be league champions. 94 points, one game left, can't be caught. They're 5 points clear of Derby. Derby are 3 points clear of Bolton and have a 4-goal advantage. A draw in their final game will be enough for Derby counties to secure automatic promotion. Depending on the Bolton result, they could lose and still come up, even if Bolton win. They lose 1-0 and Bolton win 2-0, Derby would still come up. Then it's a 3-point gap from Bolton to Peterborough, who do have a game in hand. That's one of the games tonight. Then it's Barnsley on 75, Lincoln on 74, Oxford on 74, and Blackpool on 73. So actually, that Oxford result, I was wrong. It was not a good result. But Lincoln and Blackpool, I've been saying it for a while, they could sneak their way in. There are still the fifth and sixth spots wide open heading into the final game. And Barnsley, who currently sit fifth, have lost 4 of 5. They have collapsed at the very worst time of the year. Blackpool, on the other hand, they're in great form. They've won the last 4 in a row. So next weekend's fixtures are going to be really, really interesting. After Blackpool, it's Stevenage, Leighton Orient, Wickham, Exeter, Wigan, Northampton, Bristol Rovers, Charlton, Reading, Shrewsbury, Cambridge United, Burton Albion, with their win, very, very close to safe now. Cheltenham can still catch them because they've got a game in hand, but it's very unlikely. It's very, very unlikely. They'll have to win 2 games in a row, which they haven't been able to do. Then it's Fleetwood. They're gone. Port Vale are gone. And Carlisle are gone. 4 teams relegated. 3 of them we now know. Fleetwood, Port Vale and Carlisle. The final spot looks almost certain to be Cheltenham. Burton still at risk. Cambridge still at risk, though Cambridge also have the game in hand. Which brings us to tonight. Cambridge at home to Wickham. Now, Wickham are 11th, have nothing to play for. A draw here will do Cambridge. A draw will be enough to make sure that they're fine. The other game then is Cheltenham home to Peterborough. Now, Peterborough, nothing to play for other than potentially finishing third and getting maybe an easier draw or an easier game in the semi-final of the playoff. So Peterborough likely to go all out in that one. Cheltenham, like I said, they would need the win. Fail to win and they're gone. And Burton will survive and Cambridge will survive regardless. Then on Saturday coming, the 27th of April, we will have the final round of League One games. All of them will be 12:30 kickoffs. Then we will have the playoff semi-finals on the 3rd and 4th and 7th and 8th of May before the playoff final on the 18th of May. Into League Two we go. Crewe 0, Wrexham 3, Stockport 4, Accrington-Stanley 2, Newport 0, Salford 1, Sutton 2, Crawley 2, Grimsby 2, Swindon 0, Walsall 2, Bradford City 3, Harrogate 3, MK Dons 5, Mansfield 2, Gillingham 1, Morecambe 1, Forest Green 2, Notts County 1, Colchester 0, Doncaster 4, Barrow 2, Tranmere 3, AFC Wimbledon 2. The table we've known the promotion situation, Stockport up, Mansfield up, Wrexham up, all done and dusted. MK Dons will be in the playoffs. Crewe look like they will be in the playoffs. They have 70 points. Barrow have 68. Crawley have 67. And Doncaster have 67. So barring a defeat and all of the others winning, Crewe will be okay. But Crewe have lost back-to-back games. But it's the 6 and 7 spots that it's still open. Barrow, 68. Crawley, 67. Doncaster, 67. Doncaster have a game in hand on Crawley, and they're in great form. In great form. I think they've won 6 in a row now. Walsall, who had been in the playoff spots, they've dropped. They're in 9th. 65 points, though, so could still get in, but it's looking unlikely. It looks like it'll be 2 from Barrow, Crawley, and Doncaster. Then in 10th place, we have Bradford. They're in good form, but they've left it too late. Then Gillingham, AFC Wimbledon, Harrogate Town, Notts County, Tranmere, Morecambe, Newport County, Accrington Stanley, Swindon, Salford, Grimsby. And then it looks like it's going to be Colchester safe, Sutton and Forest Green going down. Colchester have a 4-point lead, sorry, 3-point lead over Sutton, but they also have a game in hand and a significantly better goal difference. So Colchester should just about survive, and Sutton United and Forest Green, unfortunately, will be dropping into the National League. Tonight, we have Barrow against Bradford. That's a huge game. Should Barrow win, they will secure a playoff spot for this season, but they've lost 4 of 5 and haven't won in those 5. In the other game, then, it's Doncaster, the most informed team in the division, away to Colchester. And again, it's must win for Doncaster. So should they win, that will send the relegation battle to the final day. It will also mean that the playoff picture gets a little bit clearer, because Barrow would be secured of a playoff spot if they win. Doncaster wouldn't, but it would mean that Crawley would have to win and hope Doncaster lose in the final game of the season. Who do they play? Doncaster away to Gillingham, who'll have nothing to play for. Crawley are home to Grimsby, who aren't good, so both should win. But a draw for Doncaster would be enough on that final day if they win tonight. Final round of League Two games are Saturday at 3 p.m. Then the playoffs are the 6th and the 9th and 10th for the second leg. And the final is the 19th of May, a 3 p.m. kickoff. We have drama in the National League. So, what we were meant to get this season was a quarterfinal situation where Barnet and Bromley would be in the semi-finals, and then teams 4, 5, 6, and 7 would have a quarterfinals to get into that semi-finals, just for a bit of extra drama. Make it a bit tougher on them to get promoted. But it's been thrown up in the air a little bit. Now, we'll come to that in a sec. At the weekend, Chesterfield 3, Maidenhead 2, Altrincham 1, Oxford City 0, Dorking 3, Hartlepool 4, Southend 1, Rochdale 2, Eastleigh 0, Halifax 3, Solihull Moors 1, York City 0, Oldham 2, Wealdstone 3, Barnet 4, Kidderminster 1, Woking 3, Field 0, Dagenham Redbridge 3, Aldershot 3, Gateshead 2, Bromley 1, Boreham Wood 0, Ebbsfleet 0. That leaves the table with Chesterfield top, ran away with it, even losing four in a row, they still won the league by 12 points. Barnet second, Bromley third, guaranteed semi-final berth. Then it was meant to be 4 versus 6 and 5 versus 7. Why that order, I don't know. But that's how it was meant to be. It was meant to be Altrincham versus Gateshead and Solihull versus Halifax. And those games are due to take place tonight and tomorrow. But Gateshead have been thrown out. They have been deemed ineligible for promotion as they have been unable to secure a 10-year lease on their ground at the International Stadium, which is owned by the council. Supporters are calling on the English Football League to reconsider its decision. The EFL described the situation as avoidable and said it was disappointed that appropriate solutions had not been put in place. I just think this is incredibly tough. Incredibly tough. If you know the history of Gateshead, if you don't know it, it's worth looking into. This is a heartbreaking thing for their fans. Absolutely heartbreaking. The council are currently seeking a new operator to run the stadium as they attempt to balance their budget, and therefore were not willing to sign over the stadium to Gateshead on a 10-year lease. So having done all the hard work, gotten themselves into a playoff spot, Gateshead have been told no. Now, would they have been promoted? It's hard to know. But they were in the mix and they deserved the opportunity to play for it. So Altrincham, as a result of that, automatically go into the semi-finals. And tomorrow night, it is tomorrow night, yeah, we get Solihull Moors versus Halifax at 7 p.m. The winner of that game will play Barnet. That's a one-off game. There's no two legs in the playoffs in the National League. So the winner of Solihull and Halifax play Barnet on Saturday at 5:30. Bromley play Altrincham on Sunday at 4 p.m. And then the winners will meet in the playoff final on Sunday, the 5th of May at 3 p.m. Very, very harsh on Gateshead. It really must be said. And I do advise people to go and read about their history. They have a good website, gateshead-fc.com. If you go to the Our Club tab and then look under Our History, it's just really interesting. There's good history at that club. And there's a really loyal fan base, like a really loyal fan base. Yeah, shame. Right. We do have a Premier League game tonight, which we should just mention before we go to break. And that is Arsenal playing host to Chelsea. Now, obviously, Chelsea went out of the FA Cup at the weekend and rightly felt aggrieved over not getting awarded what looked a Stonewall penalty after Jack Grealish's handball. Arsenal beat Wolves at the weekend, rode their luck a little bit in the first half, but absolutely deserved winners. Arsenal will have no Jurrien Timber, and Tomiyasu is a doubt. For Chelsea, no Fofana, no Lavia, no Ugochukwu, no James, no Nkunku, no Sanchez, no Colwill. Cole Palmer is a doubt. He has a virus. They're hopeful he should be okay. Malo Gusto is out. And Ben Chilwell is out. So, bare bones, as always, for Chelsea. What I will say is, well, Chelsea have not been good this year. In four games against Manchester City, three of them against City, and Arsenal, they have played really well and caused serious issues for the opponents. Now, not having someone that can score a goal, obviously a bit of an issue. Cole Palmer has done great this year in terms of goals. A lot of penalties, open play goals is what we're talking about here. Not having that consistent open play goal scorer has been a big issue for them. Nicholas Jackson, I mean, he's not a bad player by any stretch. He's just not a reliable goal scorer. He's got 13 goals in all competitions, 10 in the league. Three of them came against Spurs in that very strange game. He's not a reliable enough goal scorer. Raheem Sterling hasn't been reliable enough either. He's got 6. Mudryk has 4. Enzo, Madoki, Gallagher, and Thiago Silva all have 3. De Sassi has 2. Nkunku has 2. Chukwuemeka, Broya, Caldwell, and Gilchrist all have 1. So scoring goals, obviously, the issue there for Chelsea. But like I said, go and look at those games against Man City at home, against Arsenal at home, more pertinently, a game in which they were by far the better team for an hour and should have been 3 or 4 up before a goalkeeping error allowed them back into it. They went to City in the league only a couple of months ago and got a draw that easily could have been a win. And at the weekend, they played City very tough as well and were unfortunate not to at least force extra time, but potentially win the game. So I think they're going to cause Arsenal problems tonight, and I'm going to go with the draw. I'm going to go 2-2, assuming Palmer plays. If he doesn't, it does become tougher. But Arsenal are looking leggy. They weren't great against Wolves. Did deserve the win, but weren't great. Back-to-back defeats before that. Pressure on now. This game, then huge game at the weekend against Spurs. I think this might be tough. So I'm going to go 2-2 in that one. And that is it. We'll go to break and we'll be back after this. Right, welcome back. So, as you will have heard before this podcast kicked in, today's episode is brought to you by Skybet. And now we are going to explore the latest findings from Skybet's FanView survey, which offers some unique insights into the game we all love. So let's get the ball rolling and delve into what makes football the beautiful game together with our friends at Skybet. So, question one. If Arsenal don't win the Premier League or Champions League, will this season have been a failure? So obviously they cannot win the Champions League having been eliminated by Bayern Munich. The answer is yes. Now, according to this survey, 41% of people said yes and 59% are Arsenal fans. They gave Gabriel Martinelli, Aaron Ramsdale and Bukayo Saka huge new contracts late last season. Huge new contracts. Well over double their money for each of them. I believe over triple the money for Saka. They finished second, having bottled the Premier League title. We all remember how they bottled the Premier League title. They led the table for more than any team ever has without winning the league. They were 8 points clear with, 10 games left. Absolute bottle job. This season, they spent $105 million on Declan Rice, $65 million on Kai Havertz, and $40 million on Jurrien Timber. Now, they'll argue that, well, Timber's been injured, but he has. But you still have White, Tomiyasu, Zinchenko, and Kivor for those roles. And you spent all of last season telling us that Ben White was the best right-back in the league and Zinchenko was the best left-back in the league and that Saliba and Gabriel were the best centre-backs in the league. So excuse me if I don't just fawn over the fact that you've got less points than you did at this point last season and are currently on track to finish about the same number of points but potentially lower in the table than you did last year. So this will be a failure. This will be a failure. You've also got to factor in, as well as the huge contracts given to Rice and to Havertz, the signing of David Raya, who you'd just given Ramsdale this big new contract and you needed a new goalkeeper. That's a bit weird. This season, big new contract for Odegaard, big new contract for Saliba, big new contract for Ben White. And that's before we mentioned in the summer the sizable contract you gave out to Reece Nelson and the big new contract given to Takehiro Tomiyasu in the last month or so. So there's absolutely no way you can look at Arsenal's situation and say it hasn't been a failure. They are all in. They have committed well in excess of $600 million since winning the FA Cup with Unai Emery's team. Over $600 million spent since then, just on players. They've also massively hiked their wage bill. They were celebrating only a few months ago because they were looking at figures from the 21-22 season and their wage bill was quite low. Well, with all these new contracts and these new signings over the last two summers, your wage bill is now going to be one of the top three or four in the Premier League. That's before we include the money paid. That well over $600 million doesn't include the money paid to many players to buy out their contracts. Nicola Pepe paid off the last year of his $200,000 a week contract. Paid off the last year of runner Alex Runnerson's contract. Now, that was, of course, a good move because he is, without doubt, the worst goalkeeper I've ever seen. You contracted terminated the contract of Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, paying him off, I believe, 18 months worth of money. Terminated the contract of Dejan Ilyev as well. If we go back a little bit further, I believe Kolasinac, Ozil, and Papadopoulos, or Papastatopoulos, I can't remember how you pronounce that, all terminated as well. So Arsenal are all in here. You're talking about probably close to $700 million spent between players bought, players loaned in, and contract terminations. A huge new wage bill, massive agent fees and signing bonuses paid over the last couple of years as well. They're all in. If they don't win the league, I'm sorry, but this year is a failure. What is the greatest team achievement in football? Leicester winning the Premier League, Bayer Leverkusen going unbeaten this season, if they go on to do so, and completing an unbeaten treble. That's still a big ask. Liverpool winning the Champions League in 05. It's not that. Greece winning the Euros in 04 and Porto winning the Champions League in 04. What a mad summer that was. Porto win the Champions League and then Greece win the Euros. If you'd had a bet on that, imagine the odds you would have gotten for, say, at the start of the 03-04 season. If you'd bet Porto to win the Champions League and Greece then to win the Euros, it would have been incredible odds. So 56% have said Leicester winning the Premier League, and of these, I'd be inclined to go with that. Leverkusen 18%. Now, if Leverkusen do win the treble unbeaten, I'd be inclined to say that's actually it. Like, that would be a hell of an achievement. But there's a few missing. There's a few missing here. Like, Porto's treble under Villas Boas should be here. And if we want to go back further, then there's a lot of others. But I think, like, Real Madrid winning three Champions Leagues in a row should be here. You know? Like, think about that for a second. No other club since the dawn of the Champions League era had even retained it. And Real won three in a row. Zinedine Zidane is the only man in history to win three Champions Leagues back to back to back. Other clubs had obviously won three in a row. Ajax and Bayern in the 70s. And then Real back in the 50s won five in a row. But they changed manager. No manager had ever won three in a row. No manager has won two in a row since Arrigo Sacchi. And Zidane did three. So I think that's probably where I would lean. Who do you think will be relegated alongside Burnley and Sheffield United, assuming they're both relegated? A little bit harsh on Burnley, who fought themselves into a position to maybe stay up. Luton, Everton, and Forest. 54% say Luton, 24% say Everton, 22% say Forest. I assume this was collected before the game at the weekend. Who do you want to see get promoted to the Premier League? Ipswich, Leicester, Leeds, or Southampton? 12% said Southampton. That is Matt Letizia tax. 25% said Leeds. We've just had them. So, yeah, but they weren't around for too long. Leicester got 30% of the vote. I mean, we had them for a while. I'd be okay without Leicester and Southampton for a while. I'd like to see Leeds back up. I'd like to see them get another crack at it. And then Ipswich got 34%. 34%. I'd want to see Ipswich. They're absolutely the number one team I want to see up. Couple of reasons. Growing up, they were a team that knocked around the Premier League. They had some fun players. Historically, you look back to the 80s, and I might actually do this tomorrow, the Bobby Robson years in the 70s and 80s. I might do that as Nostalgia Day tomorrow. And then, you know, just the fact that Kieran McKenna has done such an incredible job, I'd love to see it rewarded with promotion to the Premier League. I think he's done phenomenally well. Who do you think should be manager of the season? Unai Emery, Jurgen Klopp, Mikel Arteta, Pep Guardiola, Gary O'Neill, Marco Silva, and Andoni Iraola. 40% say Unai Emery. I actually can't believe it's not higher. 21% say Klopp. Given what he's dealt with in terms of injuries, I think that's absolutely fair. 20% say Pep. 10% say Arteta. 5% said Gary O'Neill, which is fair, done very well. 2% said Marco Silva, which I think is fair. I don't think he's done as good a job this year as last year. But Andoni Iraola getting 1% is a bit mad to me because I think he's done a better job where he is than Gary O'Neill has done where he is. Let's not forget that Bournemouth have done considerably better this year than they did last year. He's only 1 point behind Wolves. If we take a look at their remaining games, they play Wolves tomorrow night. Then Brighton home, Arsenal away, Brentford home, Chelsea away. So I definitely think there's maybe 3 wins there for him. After tomorrow night, Wolves have Luton home, win. City away, that's a defeat. Palace home, draw. And Liverpool away, I would say defeat. I actually think Bournemouth could finish above Wolves this season. And considering Iraola had to deal with all the nonsense from the media around Gary O'Neill in particular, I actually think he's done a better job than Gary O'Neill has this year. And he's certainly done a better job this year than Gary O'Neill did last year. Though much credit to Gary O'Neill, he has done very, very well. There's no doubt about that. He worked a miracle last year to keep them up. Like, they were dead and buried when Liverpool beat them 9-0. And they sacked 2 coaches, who I'm so pleased to see has not yet found another job. Because, my God, he is terrible. He is a dreadful gang of lads. And a bad manager. So there we are. That is what we have from the fan survey this week. So, we'll take a break. Back after this. Right. Welcome back. So we're just going to do a little bit of news and gossip. Obviously, if you were paying attention, Inter Milan won the Serie A title last night, beating AC Milan 2-1. Congrats to Inter and all involved. Big achievement for them. First title since the Antonio Conte title. Azerbi put them 1-1 on 18. Marcus Thuram made it 2 on 49. Fikayo Tomori did pull one back for Milan, and then things went just off the rails in stoppage time. Theo Hernandez and Denzel Dumfries sent off, then Calabria sent off, and the game fizzled out that way. But Inter are Serie A champions, and congrats to them. We have a coordinated leak from Liverpool Football Club to let us know that Arnie Slot is a leading candidate to take over from Jurgen Klopp. Now, he has also attracted interest from Barcelona and Bayern Munich. Stylistically, he's more De Zerbi than Klopp, a little bit more high tempo than De Zerbi, but more De Zerbi than Klopp. Teams do press well, and he's found ways to limit injuries. But for me, the Eredivisie to the Premier League is an enormous step, and the Eredivisie to Liverpool is an even bigger one. I'm of the belief, maybe foolishly, that this is a smokescreen, that Liverpool have put this out more as a diversion tactic than anything else. I still believe it will be Ruben Amorim. He is the one they went for. And I think it'll be him. There may be some ground they have to make up in some ways, but I think it will be him. I think there might be one or two issues they need to resolve, but I think it'll still be him. I could be wrong. Could very well be wrong. Arnie Slot is a good manager. His team plays good football, but like that Bundesliga or that Eredivisie to Premier League step is huge. UEFA have called for an improvement in VAR consistency. Nottingham Forest have been offered the chance to listen to the VAR audio, though I note it has not yet been made public, so we'll see. FA Cup final win reaction, a disgrace. I assume Eric Ten Hag is referring to Anthony. Good news for Aston Villa. Unai Emery has signed a contract extension until 2027. And potentially there will be, he hasn't signed a contract extension. They have triggered an option to extend his contract till 2027, but they're going to sit down in the summer to discuss a new long-term deal on, I would say, significantly improved terms. Everton's search for investment to complete 777 deal. Everton are searching for third-party investment in order to push through a protracted takeover by 777 Partners. Surely they were meant to have the money to buy the club, and yet apparently it cannot. All very strange. All very strange. Don't rule out administration. West Ham will hold talks with Ruben Amorim. Apparently those talks took place yesterday and were not fruitful. Julian Lopetegui is a serious contender to replace Moyes at the London Stadium. That I can see happening. I cannot see Amorim going there. Amorim remains Liverpool's number one target, but Thomas Frank is being considered if the Portuguese boss goes elsewhere. I don't believe Thomas Frank is being considered. Eric Ten Hag's potentials will be assessed by Manchester United technical director Jason Wilcox before the club makes a final decision on the Dutchman's future. Thomas Tuchel would take the United job if offered. Roberto De Zerbi is a leading candidate to replace Ten Hag, and the Seagulls are considering Vincent Kompany as a replacement. The chairman, Alan Pace of Burnley, has come out and said that's absolute nonsense. Saudi Arabian club Al Nazir remain interested in signing KDB and are expected to contact him soon. Barcelona have joined Arsenal in interest in Alexander Isak. Nonsense. They have no money. Arsenal and Manchester United have joined the race to sign Michael Olise. It's Football Insider. You wouldn't believe much of anything. This is great. Arsenal are expected to make three or four marquee additions this summer. Well, they're clearly not going to, considering they're right up against the FFP wall. And this is Steve Kay, the enormous spoofer, talking absolute bobbins, as always. Clearly doesn't fully understand how football works. Arsenal fans can expect even greater investment this time around than last summer when they spent 230 million. This fella lives in his own little planet, does Steve Kay. Liverpool watched Victor Gyökeres as they target a new striker and central defender this summer. Okay, be happy with that. Manchester United have made Everton and England defender Jarrod Branthwaite a top target for the summer and want to agree an early deal. Real Betis are looking to sign David De Gea, who's been a free agent since leaving Old Trafford at the end of last season. Thiago Silva will leave Chelsea, we all know that. Crystal Palace are interested in signing Wilfred Ndidi on a free. Would make sense as a squad player and help Doucouré just kind of ease his way back in after the Achilles tear. And Bayern Munich are monitoring the situation of Frankie de Jong, and I maintain that will be a horrible signing for them. Right, folks, that'll do. I'll see you all tomorrow. Take care. Bye-bye.
Podcast Network.